Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to everyone that have joined us tonight. You are listening to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do is be here with you on a Sunday night. So thank you for taking the time to be with us. It is amazing with all that has happened just in a weekend or in an afternoon. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, oh yeah, we're going to get all that done. It'll be just fine. However, when it comes to us talking about one particular thing, which is really all about having to make sure that the bills are paid in the United States, I cannot tell you how frustrated I am. I don't get angry, but I really do get frustrated. I can't imagine why anyone would make decisions for a family with children or make decisions for teachers and principals at schools and what they should be learning. And I'm blown away by what our Congress believes they can get away with. And we're going to talk about that later on with a special guest. But I know that you've been paying attention. I got so frustrated when I read, oh yeah, that's right. You know, it'll be just fine. You know, they got plenty of people that are talking and talking. Yeah, talking doesn't always make a difference. Am I right, Jonathan? Not always.
No, not in the least.
Right?
No.
And I believe in words. I believe that words can heal. I really do. But as we keep looking at this, every time it comes around, it gets bigger and nastier and stinky. It's awful. And I don't understand why someone, and I don't know who that someone or many, many people come together and say, enough is enough.
This has been a frustration of mine for many years, not just at the national level, the federal level, but also at the state level. And you talk about hitting deadlines and procrastinating. And I keep telling myself, if there was a degree for procrastination, if there was a doctorate for procrastination, I would not only own one, but I would teach the 801 course. I would teach the second year doctorate course of procrastination. That's how expert I am at this.
I love your truth, though. Yes. I must tell you, thank you for that.
This is the way it works in our government.
It's not the way it's supposed
but it's
to work.
It's not the way that it doing it this way has an effect down the line.
Yes, it does.
And
immediately, by the way.
And the fact that at the state level, at the federal level, we don't deal with budgets until the very last second, until there's something that puts a fire, a bug in your you-know-what. It's aggravating. And the thing with the government shutdown, the potential for government shutdown, I have family members that one is still in a government job. A couple are no longer in government jobs, but that's what they were doing for the majority of their careers.
Right.
And so
I had some relatives too.
Yes. And so this has a direct effect on people's lives that I look at that I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? Because y'all get to sit, and we were talking about this during the break, senators, representatives, they get to reap the benefits without feeling the hurt.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about that at 7:35. We have a great guest that's going to join us. And Jonathan, I'm glad that you started to mention that, because here is the biggest challenge for me, is that this is now happening every year. It used to be a time when we had maybe 3 years in between where it wasn't happening, right? If you go way back and look. But today, I can go back even further. And it's just happening every year, every year, every year. And I don't understand how that's possible, but it is.
And you talk about it happening. Just remember, what was passed was not a full budget.
Right.
It was a continuing resolution.
Right.
So that gives us 6 weeks.
45 days.
45 days, 6 weeks,
yeah.
Basically around mid-November.
Right.
So we could be
we'll be back at this.
Yes, we could be looking at this again. But before Thanksgiving.
It's just maddening. I mean, you want to pull your hair out. Well, you don't have any. Do you have any?
I have a little bit right now. No, that's okay.
Come on, let me see what's
I look
under
like
hat.
A bad George Jefferson.
I love the hat, though.
I look like a bad Sherman Hemsley. Bad
Sherman
Hemsley.
You got a little line, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. A lot of people will find that handsome.
I got a lot showing on the top.
Uh-huh.
The hair growing on the sides.
Right.
For all those that don't know who Sherman Hemsley was, rest in peace.
Little dude. I called him little dude.
I would have loved
to have met him.
He seemed like a really cool guy.
Yeah. And then the woman that played his wife, I actually had a chance to meet her during Gospel at Colonus.
Isabel Sanford.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
She was wonderful. Very
nice.
Kind woman, you know.
But
incredible.
But getting back to this continuing resolution again, when you're talking about funding departments and government entities that affect people across the country, this isn't just a DC thing. This doesn't affect just people in the Capitol building or down the street at the White House. This affects
every American.
This affects the military.
Every American.
I'm trying to remember if this affects the post office still, but this affects so many
but it
themes.
Does it every time.
And it's
they do it every time.
I don't know what to do about it.
How about firing some people? If you and I were doing that, we would get fired.
Yes. We would. Absolutely.
Period. We would get fired immediately.
Yeah.
Yet this continues to go on, whether they have new people in the House or new people in the I mean, it's just crazy. It doesn't matter. They do it no matter what. And that is my problem with it.
The only way to do a firing, quote unquote, would be, I guess, to do recall elections. You'd have to do recall elections. And there is not an if there's not an appetite for standard elections, which I think is growing less and less. I think there'd be much less of an appetite for recall elections.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's gotten so bad that we know that we are always on the cusp.
Yes.
Of absolute destruction.
I completely agree.
We are always there. So if we are always there and we remind ourselves of that year after year, month after month, day after day, if we have to get there, we have to do it. We have to make sure that they all know we are sick and tired of you. We are sick and tired of you telling us, oh, no, we are not going to do that. Oh, no, we're not going to let you do that. And it's more Republicans than Democrats this time.
Let me posit this as a solution. Class action lawsuits. Let's start suing them. Let's start taking them to court.
It's going to take forever. It's going to take forever.
That's the only way I can think of possibly. Hit them in the pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? You mentioned it earlier. You said, okay, we really need to start looking at term limits. Because if you're going to keep the same group.
I've thought this for years. And there are people in Congress that have done amazing things. And one of them, we'd be remiss to say, is the late, now the late, Dianne Feinstein of California, God, the late senator from California. She did some phenomenal things.
Great things while for, in the, for the country. Not for the, just for a particular group of people, for the country.
Correct. But having her be in the Congress so long, the Senate, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Grassley, you could even say people like Chuck Schumer getting up there in age. You know, this is why the Steny Hoyer pulled back. Even though she's still in the representative, Nancy Pelosi has pulled back because there needs to be new blood. There needs to be new leadership and new ways of thinking and updated ways of thinking. I understand.
She accomplished so much, though. Come on now.
No, I appreciate the wisdom of knowledge of being there and working the room.
It's more than wisdom of knowledge. It's more than that. It is. She cared so much. The time that she spent.
And
people that she helped, not hurt, but helped. This is the part I really want people to remember about this woman who led the Senate, led the Congress. She was remarkable. Not just okay. She wasn't just, oh, that person that's in charge. Remarkable. We should say it all the time.
But the problem with this is, even with the age and the wisdom and the power that comes along with being in those positions of power for so long, you have the ability to see that stuff is different now. Not just in technology, not just in social issues, but also in the way that people look at each other and talk to each other. And the problem is, even though you have people that are moderates that might have been there for a while, say, let's take a breath, let's work this out, let's talk this. There are going to be people from other sides of the aisle that say, no, we're going to do it my way. No, we're going to do it my way.
That's why we need AI. And I usually wouldn't say that, seriously. But I think if you integrate AI in this conversation, where we do this every year, which is very disturbing to me. It's a waste of time and a waste of money every year. Enough said.
AI in Congress. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? And what say
that?
You? What say you,
again,
Jonathan?
I've said
what
this,
say you?
I've said this recently, talked to you about it. I think back to the mid-1980s film War Games with Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy, Dabney Coleman. I don't know if AI gets in there, they're like, do you want to play a game? No, I don't want to play a game. No.
But
no
they do act as though this is a game. And it's not a game. These are people. These are people's, whether they are going to make money or not. Are they going to be able to pay their bills? Are they going to be able to put food on the table? If they're going to be able to pay their medical bills? All of us can, I don't know anyone that's exempt of that. Some people say it's the super rich, they're exempt. Some are not. Some are super rich and they're losing it.
Yeah. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know how we get to a place where we can be more efficient and better.
It has to begin with caring for each other. Like, I actually care about you, Jonathan. If you were in an accident or something happened to you, I would be praying and crying.
And I care.
I would not want that to happen.
And I care about you as well.
Right. But there are so many people who overlook what is really going on as though they can walk away. We really cannot afford to continue to walk away. And so whomever the leaders are that make sure that we have to do this every year, maybe they can change. Maybe we can change something. But it's been difficult. Coming up at 7:35 is my guest, Jacob Bygage, and I'm Bow Gage. I'm really looking forward to speaking with him. He is a business and technology reporter with the Washington Post, one of my favorite newspapers. So we'll be back soon in just a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 7:24. Oh my goodness, 7:24 right here at WCCO. You are listening to Steel Talkin'. I've been here for over 25 years now, and oh, I have had a good time. It's been bad times, hard times from time to time. However, it has really made a difference in my life, and I'm grateful for that. It's interesting. We are trying to really talk about as much as we can when it comes to the news, but then there's sometimes really good news or really bad news, and you try to deal with both of those at the same time. But I have to say, the twins make me smile tonight. And Jonathan, I know there are big challenges coming up for them. A lot of people are paying attention. Are the tickets selling as well?
I don't know about that. You'd have to ask the team. I'd assume that they would be selling a great amount of them, and not just to Twins fans, because the opponent is a frequent visitor to Target Field. They're going to play the Toronto Blue Jays in the best of three wild card series starting Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday format. If one of the teams wins the first two games, they won't play Thursday. Mm-hmm. If they split, there will be a Thursday game. Toronto has for a long time been a very big presence with the Twins, whether I believe it was at the Metrodome or here at Target Field now. When Toronto comes into town, there are a lot of Blue Jays fans that follow and that that come through to the stadium. So it won't be a split. It won't be an even split of fans, but this will be different than if they were playing Houston or Texas or New York or some of these other teams. Toronto will show up.
Yeah, of course they will.
And it will be, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 70-30 or 65-35 Twins fans to Blue Jays fans. There are going to be a lot here.
Oh, of course. But I'm curious to know from you, do you expect that game to be as powerful as it could be?
What do you mean by that?
In the sense of the type of playing that will happen that day.
It'll be a fun series. The Twins are trying to break a long streak. They have not won a playoff game. I'm trying to think of the year. I think it was since 2003. They've lost 18 consecutive playoff games. Not series. Not two out of three, three out of five. Games. Mm-hmm. They haven't won a game in about 20 years. I believe that's the longest streak in Major League history where a team has made the postseason and just has not won a game. So the first obstacle, get a game. Get one game, and then you can go from there. That's the first obstacle.
You hard, man. You are hard.
No, I'm. That's just the facts.
That's your truth.
No, no, it's just the facts.
Okay.
You talk to anybody here, that's going to be the first thing. That's the first thing they'll tell you is, just get one game and get the ball rolling.
Okay, so then how would you say things are going for the way Minnesotans are looking at the Twins? Are they overexcited? Are they thinking, oh, no, don't let me down?
I think there's cautious. It's funny because I want to say there's cautious optimism, but if you talk to Twins fans, there are a lot of them who will say,
But not all of them.
Not all of them, but quite a few of them will say, you know, good. They won the division. They'll get swept out of the playoffs.
Are you rooting for them?
Sure.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
I wish them good luck. I hope they do well. I hope they continue on. The team that they're playing is a formidable team. Toronto has a really good young core of position players. They've got some good pitching. I think the Twins pitching and the Blue Jays starting pitching matches up fairly closely together. But the position players, you're going to have a lot of young players that need to come through. Carlos Correa has been battling some injury. Byron Buxton has been battling some injury. I'm trying to think of the other guy. Royce Lewis has been battling some injuries. So they're trying to get those guys back into the lineup. But there are going to be some young guys that have to come through. Solano and Willie Castro.
Yeah, we might be surprised, though.
Hopefully that there's enough new blood.
I'm very hopeful.
There's enough new blood, hopefully, to get some of that stench of the past off and just say, we need some fresh air. We need a breath of fresh air. And hopefully they can provide it.
We may even need more than that. We may need Jesus. I don't know. But the bottom line is that they're really going for it. That's what I'm excited about.
Sure. Yeah. And again, if they can get past Toronto, they will get to the division series. There, they would have to face the defending World Series champion, Houston Astros.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, first things first,
first
get a game.
First, game.
Get a game.
Get
if
a
you
game.
Get a game, you can get a series.
If you don't win a game, you can get a series.
If you don't win the game, can't win the series. So, get a game, then we can go forward.
I want you out there on that, man. I want you. You know, the way you talk about these sports, you know, it's like you know so much, but you're not playing it.
No.
You never did play it, right?
I didn't play the I played basketball.
I played basketball
up through eighth grade. I played a little bit of YMCA
baseball.
I'm talking
about, you know, when you were 18 and up.
No, okay. I knew by that point my chances of athletic excellence had never developed.
Okay. We got to take a break, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us, and we'll be back soon. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night, is to be here with you. I am so excited for this next guest of ours. Why? Well, let me tell you about him. Once again, the U.S. government beat the clock by the skin of its teeth. Yeah. A truly 11th hour deal stopped the government from being shut down for the first time since 2019. Yeah, that's not necessarily good news to me. It shouldn't have happened, even in 2019. But the continuing resolution passed Saturday night keeps the government open for another 6 weeks. And I am not really thinking that's a great idea, but we're going to hear a whole lot more about this. In a very chaotic year for the halls of Congress, how much faith should we have that the same crisis cannot be avoided come mid-November? That is a big question. And why is it important to us? Because right now, we're going to have a guest by the name of Bo Gage. And he is joining us. He's from the Washington Post. He's a business and technology reporter. And it is quite remarkable what Jacob is doing these days. And he is one of the newspaper's outlets keeping people informed on the latest bout of congressional dysfunction and the impact on those depending on a functioning government. He's been very gracious to join us tonight and to use his time to be with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome, Jacob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good to be with you.
You know, this is crazy. I get so tired of it because we run into this every time. And I'm just wondering if you're sick of it.
Of course I'm sick of it. I think every American is sick of it. The idea that Congress can only operate on a deadline.
Right.
I was in Congress all week, and really until late Friday night, it looked like we were barreling toward a shutdown.
There were
staff members in the Capitol who thought they were going to be furloughed and like planning midweek getaways because they thought it was going to take a while. And then Congress can only operate on a shutdown, on a deadline. And they figured it out at the last minute on Saturday. But like you mentioned in the intro, we've got 6 weeks to figure this out. I don't expect it to get figured out until the very end of those 6 weeks. We'll be on pins and needles the whole time.
I think it's ridiculous, and I don't understand why we are allowing this to happen. Why not get it done? They're being paid to get the work done, yet it's not happening. And we keep seeing this revolving door, and it's getting worse, not better.
Yeah, I want to run through the mechanics of what's going on here for your listeners.
Please.
There's kind of two ways the government gets funded. One, the way it's supposed to happen is 12 separate, what we call appropriations bills that fund federal agencies and individual programs. That's the by the book, the way it's supposed to happen. Those bills start in the House, they get passed in the House, go to the Senate passes its version, they hash them out, just like the Schoolhouse Rock song, that's how the bill becomes a law. They have to do that 12 times. But it's really hard to pass 12 bills on massive federal spending, and so we get a lot of what we just went through. Continuing resolutions, which is we need more time to fund the government, so let's just kick the can down the road. We will continue to fund the government at current spending levels while we keep negotiating and hopefully pass these appropriations bills later.
Why are we negotiating so late? I don't understand it. We should get this done immediately. We know that this is going to happen. We know that every time it comes around, we know that that's supposed to happen. Yet there's always conversation. There's always misunderstandings, people that disagree. It's like a big, giant fight. And I don't understand why they're taking our money to do it.
And this time it was an entire kind of game of chicken. You had the Senate, which actually was working on a pretty bipartisan basis, and to see Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, coming out and complimenting each other in both senses of the word almost every day for 10 days in the run-up to this deadline was really a sight to behold. And then in the House, you had the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, really at odds with a hard right-wing faction of his own caucus. And the weird part of this was, it wasn't a true negotiation. When you think about a negotiation, I have something I want, you have something you want, and we talk about it, we meet in the middle. There were no policy asks here. This was a bunch of people who don't like Kevin McCarthy trying to make a situation really bad for Kevin McCarthy. And in the end, the Speaker had to rely on Democrats in the House to bail him out and keep the government open. And it's very likely first thing tomorrow morning going to come out and bite him because those same hardliners are going to try to boot him out of the speakership.
But here's the thing. This is something we have to do every year, and I don't understand why we allow this to happen. Why do we continue to allow them to do this sin? I call it a sin because it's like you're hurting everyone in the country, no matter what age, the oldest to the youngest. You're hurting them all. Just even talking about it. So here's my challenge. I know that my producer earlier spoke and said, maybe it's time for term limits. Do you agree?
That's not up to me. I think that's a great question. I think, that's something I hear about from folks on the Hill all the time talking about term limits. And it is no secret that the leadership of both parties are older folks whose the brightest days of their professional careers are behind them. I think that is up to voters to decide if that's something they care about. There is, even if there isn't a constitutional term limit, there is such a thing as a term limit when they run for reelection and you vote for somebody else. So, we live in a democracy. Accountability in a democracy runs through the ballot box. Or at least it ought to.
We know that money has to be there, right? It has to be there, make it available so that we can just keep moving forward, up and forward. The challenge is there are those who say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make sure that that money is there for that because I don't like that person. It's like little children fighting each other. How in the world do we move forward when we've got this happening?
You know, I think the root of your question is about accountability. And what does accountability look like for lawmakers who are, you know, when they are talking about how they're going to spend our money in that moment, are really only answerable to themselves. I think elections matter. A lot of my reporting in this week was about what happens if the government does shut down, who is affected, who's harmed the most. And frankly, the people who are harmed the most are, you know, the most marginalized, who are the least among us, the impoverished, malnourished, children, the elderly. These are people who struggle to have their voices heard in general in our political conversation, and money talks. You know, when during government shutdown, anti-poverty programs would be affected. You know, I mean, that's huge. There is not a great mechanism when Congress is in these debates for having instant accountability so that the people who need these resources the most, who rely on the government to help them up and out of difficult circumstances, to make sure their voice is heard in these immediate moments.
So that voice is being heard makes sense. We've heard about that for all of our lives. If you're an adult, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the problem for me, is that we still keep dealing with the one thing that we all know is happening. We know that someone has a job that they shouldn't have, and it's more than one person. And what is it going to take us to change the laws to make sure that all of this stops? We are wasting money on day one. Whenever they come forward and say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. The Republicans are doing this. The Democrats are doing this. And all of a sudden, no one's talking to each other. It's very frustrating, but we know that someone could lose their job, like all these unions that are having problems right now, right? Maybe we should take a hint from them and they take a hint from us. Because this has gotten so bad, I don't know what else to do, Jacob. I'm not going to kid you. I don't know what else to do. I have cried tears over this because it's like the children don't matter to so many of our leaders.
Yeah, we're going to rinse and repeat it and do it in 6 weeks. And hopefully in those 6 weeks, Congress comes together and can pass these 12 appropriations bills. But there's going to be conditions on those, whether that is, you know, in exchange for supporting the people of Ukraine, clamping down on asylum seekers in this country who are fleeing poverty and violence in Central and parts of South America. There are going to be deals that are hashed out here. Part of a working democracy is that nobody is happy in the end if there's really a true compromise. But you have to remember, when nobody's happy at the end, there are people downstream who are affected by changes in policy, even if it means the rest of the country is moving forward. And, you know, as much as we like to say democracy means a lot, you know, folks don't get left behind, folks do get left behind. Nice. And that's where, you know, we have the rest of our civil society to come in and try to help those people and lift them up. But they're going to be really tough conversations over the next 6 weeks and really probably through the end of the year. And, you know, that's where me and my team come in to make sure that folks understand what's going on in Congress, what's happening with their money, and what it means for their community.
So where do we go from here? How do we get better? How do we get stronger now that we know how this happens, which we've been knowing for a long time, and it's consistently happening? Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, Geraldine, that's above my pay grade. I don't know. I mean, vote. You know, I mean, elections have consequences, and I think the biggest example, you know, the biggest exhibit I can point to right now is that we have a divided government. Congress is split. The Supreme Court is a relatively hard right Supreme Court. You have a Democrat in the White House. I mean, this is a system of checks and balances that works. I mean, they do check and balance each other, but they also prevent progress. And so, you know, if you subscribe to a certain ideology that you feel is most equipped to run the country, your method of accountability in democracy is to vote and to make your voice heard between elections to your representatives.
Well, I'm going to vote as I always do, and I'm proud to do it. And then I stop by, I call, I get as many people on the phone as I can or on Zoom, whatever it takes to say, please vote. Because if we don't vote, we really shouldn't say a word. Not just don't even talk about it. And that's sad to me. It has been a pleasure having you join us tonight. I thank you for giving us this time. And I hope that the words you have spoken really speaks to the rest of the listeners as much as it really spoke to me. So thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
Be safe. All right, everyone. As you know, we know that this happens every year. It's so frustrating. And if you know of something that you would say to others while this keeps happening time after time after time, what do you say that allows you to relax and say, that's okay, we're going to get there? Or do you ever get there? Give us a call at 6...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night, is to be here with you. I am so excited for this next guest of ours. Why? Well, let me tell you about him. Once again, the U.S. government beat the clock by the skin of its teeth. Yeah. A truly 11th hour deal stopped the government from being shut down for the first time since 2019. Yeah, that's not necessarily good news to me. It shouldn't have happened, even in 2019. But the continuing resolution passed Saturday night keeps the government open for another 6 weeks. And I am not really thinking that's a great idea, but we're going to hear a whole lot more about this. In a very chaotic year for the halls of Congress, how much faith should we have that the same crisis cannot be avoided come mid-November? That is a big question. And why is it important to us? Because right now, we're going to have a guest by the name of Bo Gage. And he is joining us. He's from the Washington Post. He's a business and technology reporter. And it is quite remarkable what Jacob is doing these days. And he is one of the newspaper's outlets keeping people informed on the latest bout of congressional dysfunction and the impact on those depending on a functioning government. He's been very gracious to join us tonight and to use his time to be with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome, Jacob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good to be with you.
You know, this is crazy. I get so tired of it because we run into this every time, every time. And I'm just wondering if you're sick of it.
Of course I'm sick of it. I think every American is sick of it. The idea that Congress can only operate on a deadline.
Right.
I was in Congress all week. And really until late Friday night, it looked like we were barreling toward a shutdown.
There were
staff members in the Capitol who thought they were going to be furloughed and like planning midweek getaways because they thought it was going to take a while. And then Congress could only operate on a shutdown, on a deadline. And they figured it out at the last minute on Saturday. But like you mentioned in the intro, you know, we've got 6 weeks to figure this out. I don't expect it to get figured out until the very end of those 6 weeks. We'll be on pins and needles the whole time.
I think it's ridiculous, and I don't understand why we are allowing this to happen. Why not get it done? They're being paid to get the work done, yet it's not happening. And we keep seeing this revolving door, and it's getting worse, not better.
Yeah, I mean, I want to run through the mechanics of what's going on here for your listeners.
Please.
There's kind of two ways the government gets funded. One, the way it's supposed to happen is 12 separate, what we call appropriations bills that fund federal agencies and individual programs. That's the by the book, the way it's supposed to happen. Those bills start in the House, they get passed in the House, go to the Senate. The Senate passes its version, they hash them out, just like the Schoolhouse Rock song. That's how the bill becomes a law. They have to do that 12 times. But it's really hard to pass 12 bills on massive federal spending, and so we get a lot of what we just went through. Continuing resolutions, which is we need more time to fund the government, so let's just kick the can down the road. We will continue to fund the government at current spending levels while we keep negotiating and hopefully pass these appropriations bills later.
Why are we negotiating so late? I don't understand it. We should get this done immediately. We know that this is going to happen. We know that every time it comes around, we know that that's supposed to happen. Yet there's always conversation. There's always misunderstandings, people that disagree. It's like a big, giant fight. And I don't understand why they're taking our money to do it.
And this time it was an entire kind of game of chicken. You had the Senate, which actually was working on a pretty bipartisan basis, and to see Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, coming out and complimenting each other in both senses of the word almost every day for 10 days in the run-up to this deadline was really a sight to behold. And then in the House, you had the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, really at odds with a hard right-wing faction of his own caucus. And the weird part of this was, you know, it wasn't a true negotiation. When you think about a negotiation, I have something I want, you have something you want, and we talk about it, we meet in the middle. There were no policy asks here. This was a bunch of people who don't like Kevin McCarthy trying to make a situation really bad for Kevin McCarthy. And in the end, the Speaker had to rely on Democrats in the House to bail him out and keep the government open. And you know, it's very likely first thing tomorrow morning going to come out and bite him because those same hardliners are going to try to boot him out of the speakership.
But here's the thing. This is something we have to do every year, and I don't understand why we allow this to happen. Why do we continue to allow them to do this sin? I call it a sin because it's like you're hurting everyone in the country, no matter what age, the oldest to the youngest. You're hurting them all. Just even talking about it. So here's my challenge. I know that my producer earlier spoke and said, you know, maybe it's time for term limits. Do you agree?
You know, that's not up to me. You know, I think that's a great question. I think, you know, that's something I hear about from folks on the Hill all the time talking about term limits. And it is no secret that the leadership of both parties are older folks whose the brightest days of their professional careers are behind them. You know, I think that is up to voters to decide if that's something they care about. And, you know, there is, even if there isn't a constitutional term limit, there is such a thing as a term limit when you, you know, when they run for re-election and you vote for somebody else. So, you know, a lot of, you know, we live in a democracy. Accountability in a democracy runs through the ballot box, or at least it ought to.
We know that money has to be there, right? It has to be there, make it available so that we can just keep moving forward, up and forward. The challenge is there are those who say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make sure that that money is there for that because I don't like that person. It's like little children fighting each other. How in the world do we move forward when we've got this happening?
You know, I think the root of your question is about accountability. And what does accountability look like for lawmakers who are, you know, when they are talking about how they're going to spend our money in that moment, are really only answerable to themselves. I think elections matter. A lot of my reporting in this week was about what happens if the government does shut down, who is affected, who's harmed the most. And frankly, the people who are harmed the most are, you know, the most marginalized, who are the least among us, the impoverished, malnourished, children, the elderly. These are people who struggle to have their voices heard in general in our political conversation, and money talks. You know, when during government shutdown, anti-poverty programs would be affected. You know, I mean, that's huge. There is not a great mechanism when Congress is in these debates for having instant accountability. So the people who need these resources the most, who rely on the government to help them up and out of difficult circumstances, to make sure their voice is heard in these immediate moments.
So that voice is being heard makes sense. We've heard about that for all of our lives. If you're an adult, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the problem for me, is that we still keep dealing with the one thing that we all know is happening. We know that someone has a job that they shouldn't have, and it's more than one person. And what is it going to take us to change the laws to make sure that all of this stops? We are wasting money on day one. Whenever they come forward and say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. The Republicans are doing this. The Democrats are doing this. And all of a sudden, no one's talking to each other. It's very frustrating. But we know that someone could lose their job, like all these unions that are having problems right now. Right? Maybe we should take a hint from them and they take a hint from us. Because this has gotten so bad, I don't know what else to do, Jacob. I'm not going to kid you. I don't know what else to do. I have cried tears over this because it's like the children don't matter to so many of our leaders.
Yeah, we're going to rinse and repeat it and do it in 6 weeks. And hopefully in those 6 weeks, Congress comes together and can pass these 12 appropriations bills. But there's going to be conditions on those, whether that is, you know, in exchange for supporting the people of Ukraine, clamping down on asylum seekers in this country who are fleeing poverty and violence in Central and parts of South America. There are going to be deals that are hashed out here. Part of a working democracy is that nobody is happy in the end if there's really a true compromise. But you have to remember, when nobody's happy at the end, there are people downstream who are affected by changes in policy, even if it means the rest of the country is moving forward. And, you know, as much as we like to say democracy means a lot, you know, folks don't get left behind, folks do get left behind. Nice. And that's where, you know, we have the rest of our civil society to come in and try to help those people and lift them up. But they're going to be really tough conversations over the next 6 weeks and really probably through the end of the year. And, you know, that's where me and my team come in to make sure that folks understand what's going on in Congress, what's happening with their money, and what it means for their communities.
So where do we go from here? How do we get better? How do we get stronger now that we know how this happens, which we've been knowing for a long time, and it's consistently happening? Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, Geraldine, that's above my pay grade. I don't know. I mean, vote. You know, I mean, elections have consequences, and I think the biggest example, you know, the biggest exhibit I can point to right now is that we have a divided government. Congress is split. The Supreme Court is a relatively hard right Supreme Court. You have a Democrat in the White House. I mean, this is a system of checks and balances that works. I mean, they do check and balance each other, but they also prevent progress. And so, you know, if you subscribe to a certain ideology that you feel is most equipped to run the country, your method of accountability in democracy is to vote and to make your voice heard between elections to your representatives.
Well, I'm going to vote as I always do, and I'm proud to do it. And then I stop by, I call, I get as many people on the phone as I can or on Zoom, whatever it takes to say, please vote. Because if we don't vote, we really shouldn't say a word. Not just don't even talk about it. And that's sad to me. It has been a pleasure having you join us tonight. I thank you for giving us this time. And I hope that the words you have spoken really speaks to the rest of the listeners as much as it really spoke to me. So thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
Be safe. All right, everyone. As you know, we know that this happens every year. It's so frustrating. And if you know of something that you would say to others while this keeps happening time after time after time, what do you say that allows you to relax and say, that's okay, we're going to get there? Or do you ever get there? Give us a call at 651-414. Do I have that right, Jonathan? 651-414-461. Oh, thank you. Give the number, honey.
651-461-9226. You can either call or text at that number.
Yes, I'm so clamped that I'm just worried. Thank you all for listening, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Still Talking, everyone. I must tell you that my brain right now and my soul are not not agreeing. It's really frustrating, and I'm just curious to know, if you want to join us at any time tonight, you can call us at 651-461-9226. As Jonathan and I were talking during the break, you know, we were talking about how this is happening and how it happens every year, and it just goes on and on and on. And maybe you're just saying to yourself, I don't care. You know, it's nothing I can do about it. There has to be something we can do about it. Don't you think, Jonathan?
I don't know how, short of changing the Constitution, you can truly do anything about it. That would be the top of the top. That would be the most steadfast thing to do, is to change some of the bylaws in the Constitution for the Congress and for the Senate.
But isn't it worth it to do it so that we make it right?
Some people would say yes. Some people would say no.
Well, of course, it's some people every time. But at the same time, what is needed?
Some people want to have the wisdom of having someone in there for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Some people like that. Some people are comfortable by that.
Are you?
Not if it leads to this. Not if it leads to ideas that don't keep up with. And I'm in that age range where, once I get a little bit older, I'm going to start saying, okay, well, I'm already in that age range where I'm saying my time is kind of past. Because I go out and I see people that are in their mid-20s, in their early 30s, and I kind of feel the energy of them, and it's their time. And my time has kind of gone by the wayside just a little bit. I'm getting to that level. I'm getting to that age. I'm getting that time.
Yeah, but how do we define that? I don't understand. It seems like we are constantly redefining it. And then there are little pearls that are in there. Yeah, it happens.
Every generation it happens.
It just, I don't know. I have a real hard time with it. If you'd like to join us, we have some time here. 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear your ideas
I'm sorry. All I'm saying is, think of when you were growing up and coming into your own in the 70s and 80s, and just how that's changed from when your children were coming into their own in the late 90s and 2000s, just from that time period, how much changed socially, technologically, economically. There's so much change that happens every 15 to 20 years that we can keep the wisdom there, but we have to have a solid, sane injection of new blood. We can't have insane injections of new blood. We got to have sane injections to keep us up to date.
But those new blood, that new blood has to be vetted. And that's one of the things
Absolutely.
I don't think we do enough of. We don't do enough of that.
Agreed.
So how in the world do we get to the point where we know that we have the power to change it, to make it better, to make it better? And how do we define better? Who do we pull to the table to make sure that that definition is there for the American people?
I'll tell you what, if you figure that out, you're going to get a Nobel Prize. I promise you that.
Great. There you go. That's what all Jonathan has to say. My goodness. It has been a pleasure sitting here talking with you and just knowing that you're on the line with us. So thank you so much. We'll be back for the next hour in just a moment. Welcome back to Steel Talking, everyone. I must tell you that my brain right now and my soul are not not agreeing. It's really frustrating, and I'm just curious to know if you want to join us at any time tonight. You can call us at 651-461-9226. As Jonathan and I were talking during the break, you know, we were talking about how this is happening and how it happens every year, and it just goes on and on and on. And maybe you're just saying to yourself, I don't care. You know, it's nothing I can do about it. There has to be something we can do about it. Don't you think, Jonathan?
I don't know how, short of changing the Constitution, you can truly do anything about it. That would be the top of the top. That would be the most steadfast thing to do, is to change some of the bylaws in the Constitution for the Congress and for the Senate.
But isn't it worth it to do it so that we make it right?
Some people would say yes. Some people would say no.
Well, of course, it's some people every time. But at the same time, what is needed?
Some people want to have the wisdom of having someone in there for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Some people like that. Some people are comfortable by that.
Are you?
Not if it leads to this. Not if it leads to ideas that don't keep up with. And I'm in that age range where, once I get a little bit older, I'm going to start saying, okay, well, I'm already in that age range where I'm saying my time is kind of past. Because I go out and I see people that are in their mid-20s, in their early 30s, and I kind of feel the energy of them, and it's their time. And my time has kind of gone by the wayside just a little bit. I'm getting to that level. I'm getting to that age. I'm getting to that time.
Yeah, but how do we define that? I don't understand. It seems like we are constantly redefining it. And then there are little pearls
that
are in there. Yeah, it happens.
Every generation
it happens.
It
just, I don't know. I have a real hard time with it. If you'd like to join us, we have some time here. 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear your ideas
I'm sorry. All I'm saying is, think of when you were growing up and coming into your own in the 70s and 80s, and just how that's changed from when your children were coming into their own in the late 90s and 2000s, just from that time period, how much changed socially, technologically, economically. There's so much change that happens every 15 to 20 years that we can keep the wisdom there, but we have to have a solid, sane injection of new blood. We can't have insane injections of new blood. We got to have sane injections to keep us up to date.
But those new blood, that new blood has to be vetted. And that's one of the things.
Absolutely.
I don't think we do enough of. We don't do enough of that.
Agreed.
So how in the world do we get to the point where we know that we have the power to change it, to make it better? To make it better. And how do we define better? Who do we pull to the table to make sure that that definition is there for the American people?
I'll tell you what, if you figure that out, you're going to get a Nobel Prize. I promise you that.
Great. There you go. That's what all Jonathan has to say. My goodness. It has been a pleasure sitting here talking with you and just knowing that you're on the line with us. So thank you so much. We'll be back for the next hour in just a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats.
But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.